it is Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Stand back! There's a hurricane coming through!
It is that time of the week here on Robbie and Rex Road. Paul Kuharski from PaulKuharski.com with us for the next hour talking all things Tennessee Titans. PK, since I didn't ask you in the last segment, how are you?
What's going on? Well, thank you very much. I was not well Monday and most of yesterday because of a foolish eating decision I made in the press box on Sunday. And I think, the second person to be taken down by that food. I usually don't talk about the free food. I'm grateful for free food.
Sure.
But when it snipes me in such a way that I can't be at the press conference where Craig Aukerman is dismissed, I feel it's warranted to mention it. So I hope nobody else ate halftime meatballs. And if anybody else ate halftime meatballs and was taken down, I'd like to hear from you.
Rex Rowe, did you partake?
Okay. This is amazing. First of all, I'm sorry for your troubles.
Thank you.
Second of all, I had a plate with four huge halftime meatballs. Oh, enjoyed the hell out of them. Felt great Monday.
I think you.
That's the only thing I can narrow it to. The only other thing I ate were my usual, you know, hefty plate of cookies and blondies and such, and they've never done any damage to me. And I know plenty of people ate those, but. I was an absolute mess. I got up. I edited Blake Bedingfield's file. I posted that. I had an Uber coming to pick me up to take me for a rental car finally. And the guy pulled into the driveway and I told him I was unable to take the ride. And I proceeded to spend the day in the bathroom or asleep.
Kind of like a theme from the show last week.
And lo and behold, by the time Tuesday night I was in that Uber to go get the rental car, I got a message from the car place and my car was ready.
Hey.
So I diverted and I actually got my car back.
At long last, the car is ready.
The hostage, my personal hostage crisis is over, not to make light of actual hostage crisis.
Yes, very much so. So we've obviously started the conversation on the Craig Aukerman part of this. I do... want your perspective on this because I think it's really interesting. We've never seen Vrabel do this before, firing a coach in season. And that doesn't mean that just because we've never seen him do it before means that he was never going to do it at some point. When you're a coach in the NFL long enough, you get to everything. But it does make you wonder, like, do you think this was 100% a Vrabel decision? Do you think maybe there was some nudging from maybe Adam Strunk in this? How do you view the timing on when Craig Aukerman was fired, given how much of a disaster it was on Sunday?
Joe, were you there Monday?
I was.
Did somebody ask him if he had spoken to Amy?
No, and I
should. Pathetic.
I should have.
Pathetic.
Just,
see, yeah. See no, what I happens agree. When
that,
I'm sick.
You get
up.
Taken out.
I mean, how is that not asked?
Listen, this sounds like a Stilly and Pauly, right? I'm the only one who asked the questions.
Well, yeah. I just don't understand how that's not asked, because that's the biggest question there is if he did it. Or if he did it aided by her.
It's the same idea as whatever. People get mad about TD story, or people get mad when somebody says something and it's not what they want to hear. It's like, well, they're just going to say what they want to say. Vrabel would have said it was my decision, but you got to still ask. Yes. No, I agree. I mean, and it's funny because I was just talking about the malarkey presser after Bobby April, which I think, seriously, we asked five different ways about, but that was such an obvious, right, Amy step in, right, after Houston. I don't know.
There's more to the Bobby April story, but we don't need to go back to that. I would presume that Amy probably at least made a phone call here or asked a question, because it's so un-Vrabel-like. But we can't know, especially since nobody thought to ask the most obvious question of the day. But It's very unusual. And the day before, I asked him, obviously, about what the culpability was for Aukerman, and he said he didn't know what culpability meant and then went on to take the bullet and said it was all him. So it's all him on Sunday, but on Monday, Aukerman is relieved of his duties. Now, things change overnight Sunday after people, you know, go back to the office and look at the film and contemplate everything. The second one is just horrible. And look, we saw that play in the New England game earlier this year where a field goal was blocked on a very inventive play. Aukerman was asked about it that week, you know, clearly was aware of it. Every special teams coach in the league was aware of it and has to have a plan for it when it happens, whether it's a field goal or a punt or whatever.
Yeah.
And they had no idea what was happening or how to stop it. The first one was not a giant overload. It's a one-man overload that I think you would see relatively frequently, and they had no answer for it. And the extra point, I mean, I talked with folk about, you know, now this may be the biggest one of all to me, because Vrabel says all the time, you practice like you're a starter, practice like you're a starter.
Yep.
And Ryan Tannehill hadn't practiced that. You know, folks said, I said, when's the last time you practiced that with Tannehill during the week? And he said, maybe a couple weeks ago.
It's not good.
Like, so they weren't ready for a lot of things in that game. And that's, look, you could say that's Mike Vrabel, but he shouldn't have to supervise. That's the other thing, you know. You don't want coaches, head coaches meddling in the coordinator's stuff, right? You would say it's a bad thing if a head coach is meddling in the offensive or defensive coordinator stuff, generally speaking. But Craig Aukerman needed Mike Vrabel to meddle in having Kyle Phillips not field the punt against the Ravens in London.
Yeah.
And Mike Vrabel said he took too long to transition. Well, he shouldn't need to transition. You know, Craig Aukerman's big boy. He should be able to make a decision on that and not have Kyle Phillips take the field or have him back there just screaming poison.
Go ahead, Joe.
Yes, we can all agree. Yeah, I mean, it's atrocious. And again, it's like it's been meh before this year, and that is a thing. I think big picture with Vrabel and staff. You know, I think Vrabel is definitely. I don't know if he's more. I think fans overplay the loyalty, hire his buddies, all that stuff with Vrabel. But it's the question of if you're okay somewhere, but you can be better, why would you not try to be better? Does he need to be a little more, I don't know if ruthless is quite the right word, but a little more proactive in trying to improve his staff and not as much reactive? I mean,
I think that's a fair question. Aukerman as his buddy is oversold. He didn't hire Aukerman as his buddy. He didn't know Aukerman. But I think it's fair now, 6 years in, to say that he became buddies with Aukerman and that Aukerman has survived as long as he did because he was buddies with Vrabel. I from the outside looking in as a fan, I could see why you'd conclude that. And look, he hired Chris Harris, who is not his buddy. He hired Charles London, who was not his buddy. You know, Chris Harris and the corners have not been great this year by any means.
Well, he was with London and Houston.
Okay, so he knows London. But Harris, you know, hasn't done a great job this year either as a non-buddy. So the hit rate inside and out is, you know, I'd say equal. When he hires Jim Haslett, who was his buddy, that wasn't a very good hire.
Well, the bottom line is he says all the time, right? Like, you got to do what's in the best interest of the football team, best interest of the football team. And it's, you know, the Craig Aukerman part of this, maybe it wasn't the worst thing for the football team, but the numbers you laid out there, like, was it not worth looking around at some point if you're able to say, well, is this the best interest of the football team retaining this guy as special teams coordinator?
And listen, I think Aukerman got a little better last year. He had one press conference where I gave him huge props because he really took the fell on the sword for it. But we talk to the coordinators every week. Aukerman is one of the three. I don't know if we'll be given Quinn this week because he doesn't have a coordinator title very conveniently. But we talk to the positional assistants twice a month. all of them always say, my bad, it's on me, I've got to do better. The thing that fans hate, you know, got to coach better, all that. Aukerman said it the least. To me, Aukerman was the least self-aware. Aukerman was the least take-the-blame coach of all of them. That's what drove me most crazy about him. He would talk about what went wrong, but he wouldn't inject himself into what went wrong. And that was my big beef with Aukerman.
Can I quickly read this medical text, Robbie?
Sure.
Actually, most cases of food poisoning are the result of you touching a doorknob or something, an infected person who didn't wash their hands after using the bathroom touch. I know that's gross, but it's true. It's called the fecal-oral mode of viral transmission. Thank you for the text.
Yeah,
appreciate great. It.
Whatever.
The halftime meatballs were amazing for me.
Well, I'm they were saying. Cold, for starters, which should have turned me
red flag.
Off. Listen, again, I don't like to discuss free food, but the free food on Sunday, you could survey anybody in the media. It was largely a disaster. It was overheard saying, like, we didn't expect this many people, which is one of my things. Like, there's a football game scheduled well in advance. They knew people would be there. Other people have gone to the hospital. There's a hospital incident for a very prominent person in the Titans media whose story wasn't finished when he went to the hospital as a result of eating the food there. There were a couple good years when they ramped it up, but this was a bad incident. I did not go number two during this game. If I did, I would have washed my hands, I assure you. If somebody did,
but you could have been in the bathroom. He's saying someone else.
And I touched the doorknob.
Did you go to the bathroom all day, Paul?
Yes, I peed twice. Do we need to chronicle my day? Okay. One of my visits to the bathroom was after the meatballs.
When we come back, we'll talk about the stream strength.
6-1. That's now we're getting into Butch Jones territory. What was the color? 615-737-1025.
I doubt people in press boxes around the NFL are dealing with this at the rate Nashville is.
We'll have more with Paul Kuharsky coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game, live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser, Paul Kuharsky from PaulKuharsky.com, talking all things Tennessee Titans. PK, Monty Rice put on waivers yesterday, and as he's walking out the door, he tweets out, thank God, with a salute sign after that. Also talks about people need to check the film to catch the real story. I found your tweet very funny yesterday when you talked about how long before this is deleted. So I checked a few minutes ago. It's been deleted by Monty Rice on his own personal Twitter account. So he has deleted both of those tweets
yesterday,
which is still continues to be amazing to me. Even going back to the A.J. Brown stuff of, you know, people screenshot this stuff. So you might as well just leave it up. But your thoughts on Monty Rice being released, his reaction to being released, and what a heck of a draft class that 2021 draft class is proven to be at this
Who
point.
Who cares what Monty Rice has to say going out the door? Who cares? The undisciplined player, can't be in the right spots, a bust as a third rounder, and Nashville thinks like what Monty Rice has to say as a bitter guy who didn't cut it is some indication of where the franchise stands. It's an indication of where the franchise stands that they can't draft a third rounder who could stick around for a couple years. But, I mean, Monty Rice is not smart and not good. Monty Rice thinks he's getting out of here and he's got some freedom and he's going to go be great. Give me some odds on that and I'll get out my wallet. Because Monty Rice is not a good football player. that's a, you know, put him on the John Robinson docket. And wave goodbye. Now, for all I know, it could be back on the practice squad.
Yeah,
you know,
that's a thing.
Later today or early tomorrow.
Let's hope. Let's hope.
Yeah, he'll be hiding. I don't think he'll stand up as much as Jaleel Johnson did. But for people to string together Jaleel Johnson, who's basically a body, and Monty Rice, who's basically a bust, and because they tweeted angrily on their way out, say, "Oh my God, this characterizes some big issue with the Titans." I mean. Think. Two disgruntled guys getting cut because they're bad. There's been no disservice done to these guys. They've been given a chance by an NFL team. They should stop by and kiss Mike Vrabel's shoes on the way out and say thank you for the opportunity.
You're right. It's David Long Jr. out the door this year. The starting spot was right there, and he couldn't take it.
He couldn't beat Jack Gibbons. Yeah.
Kissing Mike Vrabel's shoes? Maybe we realize how you got your stomach bug here, PK. I agree with you. However, you are kind of scolding the fans. And if you step back, we talked about this earlier in the show, and I want your thoughts on culture. Because it is an interesting discussion. I can't blame people. Yes, if you isolate it to these two, you got to be able to look at who we're talking about. Jaleel Johnson's a guy bouncing around trying to make a team. Everybody pops off on social media now. You got to let your feelings be known on social media. And then Monty Rice's agent says, please take that down. My God, we're screwed already, right? That's what happened. But you do have A.J. Brown taking shots, other people.
A.J. Brown's beef with John Robinson.
Sure. I mean, like we talked about earlier, I mean, A.J. Brown wasn't happy at first to leave, but he's, of course, taken a lot great pleasure in what's gone on since then. But I can't totally blame people for looking at some of this and asking the question about culture. So what do you think about the Tennessee Titans culture?
I think Monty Rice is gone in large part because he didn't fit the Titans culture. He's not equipped to comment on the Titans culture because he never fit the Titans culture. That's why he's gone. In the Titans culture, you have to know what to do. He's never known what to do. I'm not saying the Titans culture is great. I heard you earlier. Titans culture, you know, can only be so good when you're 4-8, right?
Yeah.
When you're better, the culture's better. Everything's better. But if you're a bonehead who you know, runs into the wrong gaps or can't take the right angles and all of that, how big a part of the culture are you? And if you're not a big part of the culture, then why do we give you a valid voice on commenting on the culture?
Yeah, that's a great question. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Cam. Cam, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Also, I don't know that he offered, just a second, Cam, I don't know that he offered a huge commentary on the culture.
He
said he was glad
to
be gone.
No, he did. Yeah. No, no one said
Jaleel
he did.
Jaleel Johnson offered a big commentary.
He did. I was talking about just the overall, not anything Rice said. Yeah.
Go ahead, the culture's not great because they're losing. The culture's not great because the single best culture guy they've had in the last 10 years is playing in Philadelphia.
Cam, welcome into the program. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning, guys. That was exactly what I was calling about because it seems as of late, I don't know, you know, necessarily referencing to any specific time, but all of Mike Vrabel's pressers, he just looks sad. He looks defeated almost. I mean, he comes up with the same bogus questions or the same bogus answers, and he just has no energy. And you know, there's that they talk about coaches that have played, and you just wonder if he's exhausted because maybe they don't. For him, it was all natural. You know, he didn't have to be taught. I mean, I'm sure he was coached up, but you know what I mean? He's exhausted trying to teach this defense how to play defense. Also, PK, your stomach bug, and, you know, you sharted last week. I mean, it's looking rough, buddy.
Yeah. Cam, right? Cam, how would you feel if Vrabel looked happy at press conferences and was real peppy and had a lot of energy? What would you be saying then?
I totally understand what you're saying, but I'm saying if you look at the man's expressions, like the way he talks,
right.
It's in the first time he's lost a football game, you know. But it just looks like he's exhausted.
He is exhausted. Like, oh, yeah. He's working long hours to try to get his football team to win a game. I don't understand what is the right look for him at a press conference for you. Characterize it for me. Like, what's exactly right for you for him? Emotionally, expression-wise, what's the energy level you want on a scale of 1 to 10? I'll share with him what you want.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. Like, I'm a diehard Alabama fan as well. Nick Saban has lost games, but I've never lost confidence in Nick Saban.
Nick Saban's never been 4-8.
Right.
To use Nick Saban as the barometer,
He was the coach of the Dolphins.
And they he stunk as the coach of the Dolphins. And I saw his stuff, and he was not good in press conferences. You know what he was doing at the press conference of the Dolphins? He was lying, saying he wasn't going to Alabama.
That's right.
What you want from Mike Vrabel? Lies?
Yes, yes, because he lies anyways. A.J. Brown's never going to be traded as long as I'm the coach.
Well, he got dumped on by his GM who backstabbed him.
Thanks for the call, Cam.
This body language thing is, he looks tired and sad at 4-8. Now, if he didn't look tired and sad, people would be like, why is this guy happy?
He's put in more work.
Right. Look how much energy he has. It looks like he slept 12 hours. Why is he not in the office?
But to back up Cam, as you continue to unload on everyone, I don't think he was criticizing Vrabel for that. I think he was just saying he looks beaten down by this.
Well,
right?
What coach isn't beaten down by 4-8, Joe?
He's come to the realization that his team's not good.
Listen, Joe, I know you're in the mood for whatever reason to give callers absolution for being stupid. I'm not. I'm here today to say, if you're a Southern football fan and you don't understand roughing the punter or running into the punter, I don't want to hear from you. Get off my Twitter feed. I came to the South in 1997, and I was told everybody down here knows football inside and out. And my Twitter feed is loaded with people who say, either those are both roughing the punter, or, get this, we should change the rules. And both of those, in hindsight, going forward, should be roughing the punter. Because it's just too violent what happened to that guy. And I say, what if instead the coach coached up the team so that they could block that guy? And what if instead the players competently protected the punter? And they say, no, throw a flag. Even if it's not the rule, they say, throw the flag because the guy hurt his knee and that's very serious. They think because Craig Aukerman was incompetent enough on Sunday to get fired and because players couldn't adjust and block in the moment, the NFL should create a new rule. That's how stupid these fans have been this week, Joe. You can call them stupid. They're idiotic.
To quote Keith on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com, I'll be changing the station shortly.
Funny. These people, you make the mistake. You're one of the two best guys on radio in town, and you make the mistake of massaging and coddling these fans.
Treating people like humans.
Educated. Educated. Ridiculous. Feed them their damn broccoli.
We'll have more with BK coming up next. BK's fired up
that
today,
sounds
baby.
Like sharding, too.
This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Draw a flag! They heard him!
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Continuing the conversation with Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025, our phone number. BK, we discussed the piece from Teron Davenport from ESPN earlier in the show. Set down with Rand Carthon, Mike Vrabel, and went through a variety of different things. The Kevin Beyer trade was brought up in there. Of course, the quote from Rand Carthon about he doesn't have an ego, so he doesn't really care who has final say, which kind of sounds to me like maybe Vrabel has final say. But that continues to come up in the conversation. What did you think of the piece that TD put out there regarding Rand Carthon, Mike Vrabel, and how that relationship currently stands?
There's absolutely nothing new in there. And it's pretty clear that the Titans wanted to answer the Boston stuff about Rand and Mike not getting along. So they put him in a room with a reporter looking for a piece that showed that they get along. The most interesting quote was from Vrabel kind of saying, I wouldn't say there aren't times that we haven't gotten along, which kind of confirmed that they sometimes don't get along. Yep. Which
that they're human beings?
Is only natural, yeah. But, I mean, look, no offense to Teron, it's pretty fluffy, you know. And, and I like that Rand emphasizes in the piece, you know, I haven't said anything because I remain in the background.
Yeah.
But here I am in the foreground. So I think Rand's kind of grasping right now to – show that he's something while pretending he's
I did enjoy
nothing.
The well, this is the time for, you know, players and coaches this time of year, so that's why he
that's
remained
why,
in the background.
That's why I remain in the background, right. But here I am in the foreground. And then, you know, the two things.
Well, this is clearly a reaction. I mean, this is a reaction to
Boston.
You know, from the Titans perspective to Boston.
Yeah, they're very reactive PR. You know. And so, you know, the piece mentions Byard, the piece mentions Dillard, but Rand doesn't address Byard, and he right. doesn't address Dillard, which are the things people want to know from Rand. So Rand appears, but still hasn't discussed the major things that Rand has been involved with that have been the key to this season's failure. So, you know, we still haven't heard from Rand on the issues of the day. And if Rand's a background guy, Rand's in the little bit we've heard from Rand, he says he's very much a background guy during the season, which comes to me with a presumption that he's very much a foreground guy during GM season.
Yeah.
So let's see.
Okay, but to be fair, to flip this around, I mean, I'll flip it around on you, and I mean, their reaction on this, I think, was great. But, you know, you were on last week. It was last week, right? Yeah, last week, talking about, you know, Robinson and
yeah.
Mike, you know, used to meet, and so I didn't see that with them. And it's like, okay, I mean, they work in the same building. I mean,
I said that.
I would assume they, yeah. So, but I mean, that's a tiny glimpse of it, and people have different schedules too. Now, yes, that. I think it's hilarious. Huh?
I said all of that.
I know. So I'm ripping you now because
I didn't rip anybody. I just said it to me, it was a relatively fluffy piece that was clearly set up to counter what came out of Boston.
Right. My point is that, you know, like I think we sometimes also jump to things without having information that warrants it. And I think in the case of Rand and Vrabel, what do we have? You know, we have, I mean, my whole thing with all this is
right,
you know,
now we have a fluffy piece each other, with Rand saying, I'm a behind the scenes guy, but here I am sitting down with Vrabel so everybody could see that he and I get along beautifully.
Sure.
That's what we have right now.
Call it whatever you want. That's fine. But the point I'm trying to make is that, you know, they can say what they want, or you can see something where they're not together on the field, or they can put them out there. And I mean, that was pretty funny. That was
pretty good.
I mean, I
love Robbie's, you know, Robbie's convinced that was reaction. No, it was, I'm not.
I am convinced.
I'm not.
You're not convinced?
No, not at all.
Oh, really?
And I felt really dumb because I had the day that was happening, which was the day after we talked,
yes.
Right? So that was Thursday afternoon. And my podcast was just out where I expanded on that even more, saying that I don't see them together. And then they were together in a big way.
High five.
Sam Phelan from A to Z was taking a picture of it and tweeting out, look, there must be fighting here. And I was right. Like, oh, damn, I just talked about how I'd never see them together at practice.
Well, but that's the thing. And then a lot of the reaction to that is, oh, I guess they hate each other. You know, it's like, look, they can say whatever they want, all that stuff. The most, and you can have a problem with TD's piece if you want to have a problem with it, but to me, the only real media issue I have in all this is Bedard and the swipe from what appears to me from the Patriots with no real backing of that, because those are serious things.
How about the Titans be proactive and lead their organization in a way that makes sense instead of be reactive to everything? All right, something's going on, so we'll have somebody talk to Diana. Oh, something's going on in Boston. We'll react, and we'll sit down here and give Teron a thing. Everything's going to be react. That, to me, more than anything, makes them look like they got a lot of stuff to cover for. Hey, oh, what's somebody saying? Oh, we'll do this to make it. What can we do to make this look better? What can we do to make that look better? That makes them look like an organization in a panic.
That's fine, but, I mean, I would react to, like, the Bedard thing, too. In their spot, and how can you anticipate that until it hits the internet?
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in, Ed. Go ahead,
here's
Paul.
One way, just before Ed goes, you can't anticipate that, but if Rand behaves like most GMs in the league behave and has relationships with multiple reporters in his new market and cares to have that, he gets a lot more benefit of the doubt. But his relationships are with national report.
Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in, Ed. Ed, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, good morning. Hey, Paul, I got a question for you.
Sure.
I'm thinking about Vrabel here, and it's something that's been on my mind for a while. Look, you know, I think Vrabel is an excellent coach. I really do. But the question that I have is building a football team versus rebuilding a team that you inherited, that you've had a lot of success with. Personally, I'm looking at Belichick up in New England. I don't think Belichick is capable of rebuilding that football team to a championship level. That's not a knock on him. It's just I think he's been there too long. He's had all that success, and rebuilding that same program is just too hard. It's not like Jimmy Johnson, who took over the Cowboys. They were losing, and he built them into a championship team. What I want to know is, Vrabel took over the Titans. He's had a lot of success. Some coaches can build a program. I don't know of many coaches that's been able or even had the opportunity to rebuild a team where they've had all that success. Do you think Vrabel, and I honestly think he's a good coach, but it's a separate question. Do you think he's capable of rebuilding the Titans? And that's really not a knock on him, but – you know, I think it's a question that needs to be answered. Now, I want to get your opinion on it.
Well, I think he should have a shot to, and we should see. And I think it's unfair to say that Belichick can't rebuild him. He's been there for 20 years or whatever. He's rebuilt them multiple times. The first Super Bowl champion looked nothing like the last Super Bowl champion, except for Brady.
There was one constant.
Yeah, one constant. But I mean, everything else around him changed. The defense was good for a long time with a lot of different iterations. Harbaugh in Baltimore has, now he's got great personnel people in Ozzie Newsome and now DaCosta, but they've rebuilt that team several times. Yep. A lot of long-lasting coaches have rebuilt their teams several times, and you can't make it just about the coach. It's the organization. And so the Titans want to be that kind of organization. And, I think many of us think that Vrabel should have a chance to be a part of that here. And the team he inherited was not fantastic. He got a lot out of, most people are pretty down on Ryan Tannehill, and he subbed Ryan Tannehill in and took a team to the AFC Championship game that was good but hardly great.
We'll have more with Paul Kuharsky coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Final segment of the day, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com with us here to wrap things up today on the program. Got some tickets to give away to see Tom Segura at Bridgestone Arena coming up on Friday, April 12th. Be caller 5, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller 5 will win a pair of tickets to see Tom Segura at Bridgestone Arena coming up on Friday, April 12th, 615-737-1025. So Will Levis been pretty hard on himself the last two times in the out in the post game press conference. He said Sunday was probably his worst game as a Titan. What do you make of that? What do you make of kind of his self assessment of the way that he's playing so far throughout the early part of his career?
I think it was his worst game as a Titan. I think a lot of analysts still can pick out the plays that make you encouraged about what he's doing, and I agree. There are plays there that make you say, hey, this guy can be something really special. But his inaccuracy, he's under 50% in this game. He threw a lot of bad balls, not just, the sideline balls to Hopkins that created conversation between the two of them are not catchable. He's got to put balls in play that a guy has a chance on. Some of the screenish type passes to Tajay are difficult catches that can be thrown better. The one thing that I've been thinking about and that I'll look into more this week is, the inaccurate passes are not getting intercepted, at least. And that was one of the things that I thought would be a problem.
Yeah.
Right at the start and coming out, I thought, well, his decision-making and inaccuracy are a problem, and that's going to lead to turnovers. And it hasn't really. So it's a good thing that while he's sorting through the inaccuracy, it's not leading to turnovers and putting the other team in good position or leading to points for them. So you can deal with those things without really hurting yourself in a bad way. But you know, he's got a lot of room to get a lot better in terms of putting the ball in better places for his receivers. And obviously better protection, better weapons would help at both of those things. But I love that he's self-critical in that way and sincere about it.
What about the intangibles on display Sunday? The Hopkins thing, you know, the putting himself in harm's way, but sort of, you know, firing up the team, even though I would not advise him to do that a lot bunch more. But what about the Hopkins thing in particular?
You know, I think it's healthy to a degree. The way they both talked about it afterwards was really good. The helicopter play is terrific. The forcing a fumble after the fumble and getting it back, all of that stuff, you know, goes in the good column and is positive stuff. And the kind of stuff I'm talking about that, you know, you slice out of the game and say, all of this stuff goes in the good column. And is reason for optimism. And you'd like for him to get a couple wins here down the stretch to feel good about and build on, no matter what the tankers out there want.
PK, it always feels like your time with us on Wednesdays is not long enough. We appreciate you taking some time to be with us today.
Coming off my deathbed.
Yeah, avoid the meatballs moving forward here.
Yeah,
I'm glad you're feeling better.
Joe's iron stomach can handle the meatballs. Good for you.
Hey,
Joe.
PK, would you take living healthy and going at 70 or 30 more painful years after that and living to 100?
I'd like to split the difference. I don't want to go at 70. That's too early given the.
I mean, you're only like 3 years away. That's a good point. I shouldn't even ask you that question.
Yeah. Don't block the box, but be sure to lock your locks. Thank you, boys.
Paul Kuharsky with us every Wednesday morning, basically from 7:30 to 9. We're going to amend it. 7:30 to 9 here on the program. That does it for us today. Chase and Big Joe coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
What's up, Foos? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.